Independent National Championships. 27 SEC titles. 131 first-team All-Americans. 70 postseason appearances. 39 postseason victories. This is Alabama football. And this is Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
And welcome in to another edition of Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Mark Houston set to join me coming up in just a couple of seconds. We have got a lot of things to talk about, including who's in this Final Four. When we talk about the Final Four in college football playoffs, a lot of juggling going on right now. I know we spent a lot of our time in the earlier edition there talking Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, Clemson, all the teams there. Florida says, hey, don't forget about us. Texas A&M goes, hey, our only blemish is losing to the number one team in the country in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Everybody's trying to make their case. Alabama, all you need to do is win. It's very simple. You win and you're in. You control everything in front of you, and it's nice to be in that position. Alabama gets the job done and down in Baton Rouge. We're going to talk about it as we welcome in Martin Houston, former national champion winning fullback at the University of Alabama. Martin, I hope all is well.
All is well, man, and glad to be with you.
All right, so Martin, I'm not trying to throw you a curveball here, but have you ever been beaten, high school or college, the way that LSU took one from Alabama, taking them to the woodshed?
Well, not to that degree, probably, but in some sense of the word, I guess the 35-0 shellacking we took from the Florida Gators was definitely that. It was a a beat down that that I don't want to duplicate, but nothing quite to that level, Ryan.
Well, it was one of those games that was just early. I mean, when you look at LSU, and we kind of talked about this last week and talking about the preparation, how Alabama was using that to maybe motivate, and then even Nick Saban using some audio pregame, kind of going, well, maybe we need to change a little bit of that. You kind of knew at that point Alabama was going to be able to just not just beat those guys, but really, you know, take care and trying to find a way just to be able to cover that and take care of business. And, you know, there's a price to pay, and LSU certainly paid that price. Looking at Devontae Smith, you walk out of Baton Rouge going, what else can you say? I mean, how do you describe this? If you're Eli Gold and John Parker and Rashad or anybody, Gary Danielson and Brad Nessler on CBS, how are you describing the performance from number six?
Very, very carefully. You know, I mean, it's just amazing to see Ryan, what he is doing, and to what degree he's doing it. It's absolutely mind-boggling from a standpoint of what he's able to do on the field. And there really aren't enough words to describe what he's doing.
Well, you back up and you have to ask the question, is Devontae Smith the best player in college football?
You have to look and ask yourself, what else can he do to get any different description? I mean, the guy is playing at such a high level, Ryan. It's kind of hard to really explain exactly what he's doing. I mean, it's amazing to watch when you sit and you just go, okay. Especially when you find out, Ryan, that they were supposed to be double teaming him the whole game, and the guy had 200 plus yards. So unfortunately, it's a passing game, offensive led game, and when a when a receiver does well, it's always going to reflect well on the quarterback. So it kind of defeats the purpose of making that player the best player because of, you know, the quarterback benefits from him playing, plus he gets the benefit of all the other players. So, yes, do I think he's the best individual player right now in any other season? In times past, would he be up for the Heisman? Yes, but in this era we in now, I don't know that he has a legit shot to win it.
Well, he may not have a chance to win it, but I tell you, when you begin to think about it, he's going to pull some votes, and he's probably going to pull enough that it's going to hurt Mac Jones. And that really has been Alabama's story for many years. When you look at Alabama, they have so many great players. When you begin to look at it and you kind of think about it, I mean, he's going to pull some votes. And I think Najee Harris is going to pull some votes. And, you know, it's 1, 2, 3 is how you rank them on your ballot. And even, you know, those second place and third place votes count. And you all add that, you know, add it up. And you, yeah, you definitely get more for one. But that may be enough to maybe – it's going to sound weird because it's unfair, but it almost hurts your teammate, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's why, you know, someone asked me, did I think that Mac Jones would win the Heisman? I said, Mac Jones is having a Heisman season. And he's having he is taking an offensive team to a level above what the previous record setter did. But because he is on the team, think about that 3-2-1, Ryan. And what's 3-2-1? 300-yard passer, 200-yard receiver, and 100-yard rusher, all three having three or more touchdowns in the first half. You don't get more complete than that, more balanced than that, more dominant than that. But I think they're going to pull votes from each other, and therefore I don't think it's going to be difficult for Mac to overcome that unless, Ryan, here's what I think helps Mac. If there's no candidates from the West Coast, then who will
great
they vote
point.
For?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, great
you know,
point.
Because you know Ohio State's going to vote Justin Fields. I mean, that region is going to vote Justin Fields. I think the Trevor Lawrence situation could help Mac as well. People may, you know, put him instead of one, now may put him 2 or 3. And then Florida, you know, that South, they're going to split the vote in the Southeast.
And we are watching the release. We are not there yet. We've got Georgia at 9, Cincinnati at 8. Iowa State jumps up 2 different spots. They're at number 7, 8-2. That tells you really where college football is when you look at Iowa State jumping in to number 7. And you look at Georgia sliding down a couple of different spots there. So you look at Miami, they're also in the top 10. We're not to that final four. But, Martin, let me get you to react. Today, Michigan and Ohio State have been officially canceled for the upcoming season. We talked about this 3 or 4 weeks ago, that the Wolverines could do things, just not doing them well, right? No attention to detail. There's no motivation. And you look at the Wolverines not wanting to travel to Columbus, having a COVID outbreak. Not saying that they're walking around with COVID parties, but it's just the attention to detail and the lack thereof. When you look at that game and how that impacts the game of college football, it does. And we're watching the Big Ten possibly even take their own rules and maybe reduce them to not playing in their own Big Ten championship. The rule is that they've got to play in at least 6 games. Right now, they've not been able to do that. They've had 3 cancellations. They're 5-0. They're number 1 in the Big Ten East. But they may not have a chance to play in the Big Ten championship unless the Big Ten adjusts their rules. They've said that they'll let us know at some point this week. Should have let us know last week, but they chose to kind of give us a wait-and-tell story. Your reaction to that game being canceled and the impact that it has on college football?
Well, first of all, are you surprised that that's what they're thinking about doing?
Not at all. Not at all.
I mean, that is so selfish, I guess. I mean, it's self-preservation as well. And so I get it. They have rules. Do you remember the move that destroyed the Big 12?
I do. Yeah.
When Texas started getting preferential treatment and
Longhorn Network TV, their own TV network,
and the league became all about Texas. And then all of a sudden, outliers begin to leave. with if they make this move.
Oh, could you imagine? I mean, if you're sitting there as a Indiana.
Yeah, I mean.
All right,
yeah.
So you have the four now is Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State at four. So, and you really didn't think that the impact would be there. Alabama one, Notre Dame two, Clemson three, Ohio State four. Let's see if there's a change in five and six. Don't think there will be, but we'll see as we line that up. As the Gators continue to win, Texas A&M went to Auburn, had a impressive victory there. Five, Texas A&M six, going to be Florida. Iowa State probably the biggest jump. They're going up to number seven. But going back to this Ohio State side of things, you're absolutely correct, Martin. If they take Indiana and you pretty much say no, because remember now, and I know right now the Buckeyes want to walk around with their head up high. Maryland game, Maryland's fault. Michigan game, Michigan fault. Illinois game, Ohio State's fault. And really just refused to play that with their head coach, without their head coach.
Right.
Because he had COVID. That's hard just to give you a forgiveness and a mulligan.
Yeah. And that's the key, Ryan, there is that had they taken care of their business, and it's a difficult thing to do to take care of your business, but, you know, this all goes back to the decision they made, not any other. They decided to cancel their season after a meeting with all the other leagues. They literally was in a meeting with the other leagues, left that meeting, and then announced that they were canceling their season. And then for 2 or 3 weeks when their teams were saying, hey, let us play, and I give it to Ohio State, they were fighting to play. But their league did not cooperate. Now the league is trying to me, backdoor their way into the playoffs and all of that. And listen, if they get in, Ryan, I'm telling you, if a team plays half the games of the other contenders, there's something about having to play the games. Pittsburgh lost last night. The Steelers, Jacob.
Hey, Jacob, you out there listening? Your Pittsburgh Steelers went down
to Washington, a team who has won four games now. The Steelers were 11-0. And there's just something to having to play. And the more you play, the more chances you have to have things go wrong, things happen, injuries, et cetera. And that's why we don't – Nick Saban, the greatest coach in the world, has had how many undefeated seasons?
One,
Ryan. Why? Because he's had to go through an entire season, not half of season. How many times would Nick Saban have been undefeated if he only had to play 10 games? 10 games. How many times have we been 10-0 under Nick Saban?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I was just trying to start counting.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, how many times has an Auburn team, we know at least three times Auburn has beat a really good Alabama team and kept them from out of the playoffs. So why couldn't that happen to Ohio State? Why are you giving them a leeway on half a season? They're literally going to play half a season right now, Ryan. When Alabama finishes this game, Alabama, Florida will have played 10 games. Clemson is going to be at 10, right? Because they started 2 weeks before us. Aren't all of them going to be like 10 games? Notre Dame is at 9 or 10.
Yeah, so when you look at it, but the biggest thing is, listen, if I'm Indiana, we're going to – I mean, that's got to be a meltdown. Because, this is changing the rules. You know, we talk about moving the goalpost. This is moving that. It's either making it wider or narrowing it down a little bit. So you look at it. We'll see at the Big Ten. I'm not saying, and I've said this throughout the afternoon, I'm not saying that this team is not one of the best four teams in college football, but at some point you got to prove it, and there's got to be repercussions for your decisions. Big Ten right. took an arrogant attitude. They tried to make other teams follow their lead, and when nobody did, they kind of got caught a little bit. And at some point, you got to be a punishment for your decision. There's got to be repercussions.
Totally agree.
That's Martin Houston. I'm Ryan Fowler. We will continue. We'll take phone calls if you want to jump in. It's 205-342-9904. A lot of things to talk about, a lot of things to discuss. Alabama Crimson Tide football, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide right here on Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston, Ryan Fowler, as we roll on Tide 100.9.
Hello, I'm Martin Houston. And while I get really excited about football season, I love the holiday season even more. Merry Christmas from the Tide 109 family and the Martin Houston Show. Roll Tide.
Alabama Credit Union. It's alabamacu.com. Skip the line. Use the online banking and mobile app, whether it's deposits, checking account balances, transfer the funds, manage transaction, pay the bills, locate the branches and the ATMs. It's alabamacu.com. The app is incredible. I use it all the time as we count down the start of college football here in Tuscaloosa, always sponsored by Alabama Credit Union. alabamacu.com.
You are listening to Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler. Your connection to Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama Athletics on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have some pumpkin pie and we'll do some caroling. You will get a sentimental feeling when you hear.
You know, we look at Alabama, number one at the rankings, Notre Dame at number two, Clemson number three. When you look at the Buckeyes at number four, Texas A&M at five, Florida at six, Iowa State up to number seven in the latest college football rankings that released about 10 minutes ago. So Alabama right back at that number one spot. Really, it's simple for Alabama. Just beat everybody in front of you. Leave no doubt when you talk about it. I'll borrow one of Dabo's statements a couple of years ago. That was one of their conversations. Leave no doubt when you talk about Alabama. Just win. You got to go to Arkansas. Martin, let me start there of going back to Nick Saban. We talk about mental makeup of this team, the psychological side. Nick Saban yesterday was set it up on a tee for a perfect rant. Charlie Potter asked the question, and it was a very simple question. He said, how do you keep your team from looking ahead to the SEC championship game and looking beyond the Arkansas Razorbacks? And it was what Nick Saban did not say that really added to it to me. It was very calm, collective, talking about what you said in the first segment, wanting to go undefeated. And I was like, in previous times, Nick Saban would have gave us a rant right there. He would have gave us a rant. What does that tell you about the makeup of this team mentally, that they've had a lot of distractions thrown at them, but they've been able to maintain that focus? Maybe he's expecting the same this weekend.
I think it speaks a lot to just how mature this team is, Ryan. The result of having seniors come back for their fourth year, having a lot of guys were playing, they just seem to be a very, very mature team. And I think he knows that he can treat this group differently. And he talked about how this group has managed to handle all of the distractions, even Saturday, how they handled the distractions of, you know, the power going out and how coaches not being there. all of those things happening, and he this team never missed a beat. And so I think that it kind of goes to why he's able to say and do kind of react differently than he did before.
Martin, how do you beat this team? Because, you know, and I know right now it's easier said than done, but if you're trying to set up a team that would be able to beat this Alabama team, because, you know, I'm not saying that Nick Saban, I mean, he knows it. I mean, he knows, you know, what a defense would have to look like to maybe slow this down. I mean, yeah, it's easy to paint the COVID side of things, and you say, well, maybe the Friday night before playing a big game, you know, would you, you know, your quarterback goes down with it, Devontae Smith goes down with it, Najee Harris goes down with it, some of your key spots, then you could say, well, how do you manage this? But then when you take a look at this team, it's like, how do you beat this Alabama team? Martin, design a perfect game plan. What do you do? Take away Devontae Smith, but you're not able to do that, not 1-on-1. How do you beat this team?
Well, I think, first of all, Ryan, you have to have the ability to match their intensity. And what I mean by that is they come at you nonstop for four quarters. And even if you start off good, like most of the teams have, it's just an onslaught for four quarters with this group. Number two is you have to have an offense that matches theirs. The scary part for this group is I don't know if we know how good this offense can be. I think they're still getting better. I think that Sark is getting better, Ryan. I think that – look at what about Jaleel Billingsley? I mean, this guy, we've discovered him in the last 3 weeks, and – had it not been for Devontae's first half, we'd have been talking about the tight end having four catches, 68 yards, and a touchdown in the first half. But that was like, oh, whatever. Plus, he had had an impact on the game, even with his blocking. So you can't, and then you have to hope that the defense reverts back, because right now, Ryan, I don't care if we've played four bad offenses or not. We know that LSU scored twice on busted plays that you can clearly identify. Oh, guy didn't get the call, so he was out of position. He blitzed when he shouldn't have. Oh, that's why the guy was running wide open. Then the other one was a guy lined up on the wrong side. I don't care who you're playing, Ryan. When you start stopping everybody that you play, your defense is getting confidence. And that's the scariest part about this Alabama team compared to what we've seen in the past. It's always been either great defense and average offense. Well, what happens if Alabama shows up in the national championship with the offense and the defense that playing at a high level?
Martin, I'm going to go.
Oh, to answer your question, I don't know if you can.
Well, and maybe that's the debate is, you know, how do you find a way to beat this team? How do you find a way to beat this team? And it's easier said than done, but you look at it, maybe that's the key. And Sark right now recognized as a Frank Broyles assistant, which goes to the top assistant coach in all of college football. He is a semifinalist for this list. And Martin, I got to be honest, I don't know how you keep track of all the different recognition that this team is getting. Like there's not even enough time for it in the day. When you look at it, I mean, it just – like I was voting in the Maxwell Player of the Year a couple of hours ago, and I'm just sitting here going, I don't want to look like a homer, but, I mean, I literally could make a case. Mac Jones 1 or Devontae Smith 1, Najee Harris 2, 3, however you want to shape it up. It's like you don't want to be Bama biased, but I mean, I think you could make a case that these guys are 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, easily. I mean, they're leading – statistically, in some or the majority of the major categories, they're 1, 2, or 3. They're leading in scoring. They're leading in yardage. They're leading in some capacity that you can directly point to. And so it is absolutely, without a doubt, one of the most impressive offensive scenarios I think I've ever seen, Ryan. I mean, as good as we've been in the past, you cannot underestimate that Devontae Smith has virtually 800 yards since the number two receiver went out, and he was supposed to now be double teamed, and you were supposed to now be able to stop him, and he's doing it at a higher level than he was before. Najee Harris, how many touchdowns? 17? 20, I'm sorry. Has 20? I lose track.
Well,
how
crazy is that, though? I mean, when you look at – I mean, it's just – you know, he's over 1,000 yards. And, Martin, being a former running back, you can respect this. He's only about 200 yards away from becoming the all-time leading rusher at Alabama.
Ryan, and he's done it against – all SEC. He has now played 9 SEC games. You know that is championship, and he still has 2 more to go. So he is doing this. Najee is doing this. Mac is doing this. Devontae's doing this. And here's the thing, Ryan. Every time they bring up Trask, I always want to ask, tell me who else has a touchdown other than wide receivers and tight ends.
Well,
he has 30 something touchdowns, but their team doesn't have near the touchdowns that Alabama has.
Well, and I think Mac Jones is approaching. Alabama is going to stomp them. I just, Martin, I don't think you can beat Alabama being a one dimensional football team.
If you can, you're a really good football team. If Florida beats Alabama, I think they'll have to beat Alabama twice because I think a 10-1 Alabama team will not go from – you talk about creating chaos. Put a 5 or 6-0 Ohio State in front of a 10-1 Alabama team that played in the championship game while Ohio State sat at home or played against, you know – a 3-3 team from the other division. So I think if Alabama wins Saturday, they're into the college football playoffs regardless. It would be nice for them to go in at 11-0, but I don't see anybody beating this team. And if Florida beats Alabama, Florida will go on to win it all if Alabama's not in it.
Let's take some phone calls here. Martin Houston, Ryan Fowler, let's go to Tampa, Florida. David, good evening. You're on with Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Hey, Martin. Hey, Ryan. How are you guys today?
Super. Doing outstanding.
Good. Talking about Ohio State, this is a subject that really gets my blood boiling because at best, I think they're going to finish the season 6-0 and Notre Dame and Clemson are both sitting at 10 games, and Alabama's fixing to play 10, and then they'll play 11. So, you know, Ohio State's had 5 fewer opportunities to get people injured, just get your body banged up. You know, they've obviously had a lot more rest. So my question is this, what are the chances, because this is such an odd scenario this year, what are the chances that they go 6 teams and maybe take, you know, a Texas A&M and a Florida, depending on how that Bama Florida game works out, or maybe even Cincinnati. I mean, this could be a chance to give a team like that an opportunity and then have those bottom 4 play their way in, you know, to the next round against, say, Alabama and Notre Dame. Are we just assuming they're going to take 4 this year? You think there's any chance?
Well, I don't think they're going to expand in this short amount of time. You know, you could probably use this because you have a contract for 12 years, 2025, 12-year contract. So you're probably, I guess you're 7 years into it, right? 6 years. This will be the 7th, I think. So you have 5 years left. I just don't know if right now they can do this. And, you know, the one thing that also helps me identify that is nobody's on the same page. I mean, we think that these conferences work together, and that's so far from the truth. I mean, we've kind of learned that about the Big Ten. They kind of did their own thing. I don't know if there's even a possibility, and I'd love to see it. But and the reason why I say that is this. Back up a couple of minutes, and I'll propose this question to you and Martin both. We have not heard one rebuttal. Let's say that we're on the eve of the game. And Ohio State, which right now has had a history of cancellations, right? When you talk about the cancellations, and what if that game is canceled? What if they have another game that's canceled? And Alabama's lined up against those guys. What do you do? Do you push the championship back? Do you forfeit the game? Because you're not going to be able to play it, you know, just, hey, well, we'll push it back to Sunday. No, it's not going to work like that. You're not going to push it back one day. So we cannot even get a straight answer out of this committee right now saying, what do you do? And December the 31st is not the time to be talking about that. You got to talk about it now, but nobody wants to.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think there's any chance that they actually do that now. I do like – see, like, everybody else thought through this stuff. Like, the NFL, instead of giving two byes, they only gave one. And everybody made adjustments except for – the Big Ten and the college football playoff, and the arrogance of it, they're creating a nightmare, I think, for future. My biggest thing is, okay, Ohio State's a team. If they got in, they could win it. So I'm not talking about their talent. But do they have a very distinct advantage in getting in and winning it? Absolutely, because their players have not been beat up for, you know, 11 weeks. And now you're talking about traditionally you having 3-4 weeks to rest and recuperate, et cetera. I hope that they don't put them in based off of what they've done. They keep saying they checked the games. I keep hearing that the commissioner keeps coming on talking about, well, we looked at the games. And I'm like, how many games did you look at, and what did you see in Ohio State? Ohio State's played one team with a winning record, and that team, they beat them by 7, Ryan, and that's Indiana. So that it's not like they've done something great. All the other teams added together have like 6 or 7 wins combined.
Go, David.
Go look at Texas A&M Florida's schedule. I mean, you know, Florida's played Georgia. Georgia's a good team. And, you know, Texas A&M's only lost to Alabama. And granted, it wasn't that close, but it was, I mean, and that's a testament to Alabama, I think. And if Florida plays Bama close, I just don't see how you take those two teams and say, well, see you guys, we're going to put Ohio State in there because we think they're better. I don't see that.
Well, and look at the times when we put the Buckeyes there. Yeah, I mean, they've kept some games close, but they've also got smoked in these college football playoffs too.
Yeah.
So
and one more thing about Ohio State is they usually have, you know, one game, maybe not every year, but maybe every other year, like they did with Purdue and Iowa not too long ago, where they're supposed to win that game big time, and they get blown out. So it's not beyond them to lose the game if they had to play 5 more.
Well, and
okay,
go Mark.
Name somebody. Okay, Ryan, go through the top 10, 1 through 10, and tell me who wouldn't be sitting at 5-0 in the top 10 with Ohio State schedule with the same type of wins.
Oh, so you talk about quality wins. I mean, they played more 2 and 4 teams. The only quality win that they have is Indiana.
Indiana's quality, why?
Because everybody else is awful.
What would Indiana record be in the SEC?
They would be
500 best.
500? Yeah. I mean, you could put them in the SEC West. Would they beat Auburn?
No.
They would beat Ole Miss, right?
No. Not necessarily. Ole Miss can flat out score.
You guys are not giving them any benefit of the doubt. Mississippi State, they'd beat those guys,
yep,
right?
They'd beat Mississippi State.
They'd beat Arkansas. I mean, it's trying to go the SEC West. I mean, but I also trying to put them in the toughest division. But, I mean, go through the playoff rankings. Obviously, Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, Ohio State. We get there at 5-0. And then when you go to Texas A&M.
Texas A&M 5-0?
All day, every day. Yes.
Florida?
Absolutely. Iowa State in the Big 12. Everybody wants a seat at the table. Now the Buckeyes are getting it. Now Iowa State's getting it. out in Ames, Iowa. And then
they're propping up, but they're trying to prop up the Big Ten because they keep giving love to teams that to help bolster their decisions.
Well, then, and then Cincinnati, guys, who
5-0.
Who does Cincinnati play this weekend?
I don't even know.
It's been canceled. The game has been canceled. Cincinnati, here's your chance. Call Big Brother and say, let's get it on.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's get it on.
We saw that it can happen. BYU and Coastal Carolina did it.
Right?
All right.
That turned out well.
I mean, Cincinnati just got dropped in the rankings, slid a vote. And I'm not here to prop up there. I went on my soapbox last week with the mid-majors. Tell them they don't belong. Just tell them at the start of the season, I don't care what you do. You beat everybody 65-0. You're still not a part of it. I think we lost David. David, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened there. James, you wanted to jump in? You kind of wringing your hands over there.
I'm seething, Ryan. Martin knows I'm seething because I talked to him during the break about it.
Talk to me. Go. Let
him rip. Listen, this, and I'm going to read this tweet because this is great. Matt Zimmick just tweeted this. This is a perfect example. The college football playoff is a lot like the CARES Act, the stimulus relief in Congress. It needed to be done right the first time. If not done right, it was going to be problem down the line. The 2014 playoff was botched horribly. This system has not gotten better. This system of this college football playoff is awful.
But let me tell you, James.
Might as well bring back the BCS,
James,
Ryan.
But you got to remember, okay, because – and I had this problem the first couple of years. Martin, you could jump in here and into this conversation as well. Let me go back and introduce 13-member committee. It was designed to do this. This was the design originally to do what we're talking about. This is what they wanted to do. You introduce bias. And they do that Mickey Mouse, put that hat on the door. Martin Houston played football at the University of Alabama. He won a national title. If I take Martin's hat off of his head and I put it on a table, does that make Martin no longer unbiased? No! No! I mean, we're both homers, right? I mean, it's...
No,
it's,
not me.
Okay.
Plus, I'm less of a homer than you are. You've been here, what? Your whole life?
Right.
Long time, right?
Martin and I both
I'm new at this, so I'm looking at this from a different perspective.
But the 13-member, the way it was designed to pick these four teams, they made this committee where they could control it.
The big thing. You are putting a team in the college football playoff because you think they're good. Martin is intelligent enough to know that they've lost to unranked teams who have a combined four wins between them. They've lost to them. They're terrible. And the one team they beat, they barely beat, and Justin Fields threw three interceptions. Stop propping up Ohio State. They're trashed.
I don't know if they're trash, James. But
garbage.
I think they're a good
Biblically,
team.
They're ruach. That's how you say it.
That's Martin Houston. I'm Ryan Fowler. James Ludeman throwing down the gauntlet on Ohio State. We'll come back. AJ, Robert, and Mobile, Alabama tradition here on Tide 100.9, the home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
This is you, sir.
Hello, I'm Martin Houston, and I'm so excited about this time of the year because it represents not just football, but the season of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. On behalf of Harvest Church and the Martin Houston Show, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and invite you to join Harvest Church on Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6 p.m. where we're creating and enabling faithful followers of Christ. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from the Martin Houston Show and Harvest Church.
You're listening to Tide 100.9. Are you in the holiday spirit? Check out Tuscaloosa's Home for the Holidays on Nick 97.5. All Christmas songs 24/7.
Hot! It's awesome. You're having a fun. Have some fun, man.
Talking Alabama Crimson Tide football on Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel.
You're as cuddly as Martin Houston, Ryan Fowler on Alabama Tradition. We're going to get to AJ. We're going to get to Robert and Mobile. Martin, this is what I'm talking about here. This is what I'm talking about. Okay. Gary Barta is the athletic director at Iowa. He is the college football playoff chairman. You know what he'll be doing tomorrow, Martin? He will be leading the Big Ten ADs in the discussion of what you should do with Ohio State. He's the chairman tonight of the 13-member panel in Grapevine, Texas. Tomorrow, he'll be the chairman of the ADs in the Big Ten discussing what to do with Ohio State. Should they be given a provision to allow them to get in?
But, hey, go ahead.
No, just adding that true a little fact there.
Okay. I'm getting some communication with Joe Gaither. James, you're getting some feedback as well. He says we're having a discussion about on texting about Ohio State, and he asked me who would you put in if you didn't, and I told him I'd put in A&M, I'd put in
especially if Alabama continues to win at the way that they're doing.
I put in Florida. And his response was, I'll give you his response. He said, well, A&M lost by 20. They had their shot. Florida will get their shot, and they'll eliminate Ohio State, since he would lose to any of the top three by 60. And to me, it's not about how good – and I said, it's not about how good Ohio State is. It's about them not having a good enough resume. And he told me I was wrong. Committee criteria, we want the four best teams, not the four best resumes or the four most deserving. The eye test has always been the only test. And I totally disagree with that, because there's no way you can say that you've looked at the eye test in Alabama in times past, or teams have not gotten in because of the eye test. It's okay to have an eye test when you're looking at 10 games and each team is playing 10 games, but you're looking at a team that has played five games. How many times in our history did Texas A&M pass the eye test through 6 weeks? Kevin Sumlin, if the season was a 5-6-0 season against average teams, Kevin Sumlin would still be employed at Texas A&M. He was 5-0 or 6-0 for like five straight years. And then the rest of the season, when he played better competition and went through an entire season, he would go 3-3 and end up 8-4, 9-3 over and over and over. And I get Ohio State may be one of the most talented teams in the country. I don't know that. All I know is they played one good team, and that good team is playing in a really bad league right now. The Big Ten is down, in my opinion, and you see how they go back and forth, up and down each week. I just don't. If we're gonna go by eye test only, what freaking difference does it make about schedule strength?
Okay, but see, that's the out. I'm telling you, this was the perfect design for a bias committee. It was perfect. It's absolutely brilliant in this committee. Martin, and I'm not here to make a Pac-12 argument, but let me just say this. When you look at the Trojans right now, 4-0, right? 4-0. They're one game shy. They'll play UCLA this weekend. They may have the same 5-0 record sitting there at the end with a Pac-12 championship. If we've eliminated them, I guess we look at the schedule that they've got, and you're sitting there going, okay, you beat Arizona State. Yeah, you kind of struggled out of that first game, 9 o'clock game in the morning, early game. Arizona, you took care of business on the road. You beat Utah on the road. You beat Washington State. You play UCLA this weekend. I'm not here to make those teams. But you are beating winning teams. I mean, you're beating teams that have a winning record. So why not them?
And Ryan, how bad is, if eye test is the criteria, and I'm not, I shouldn't say that it's not. Unfortunately, it probably is, and has a lot of weight to it. But, and I know it was 30 years ago, but we didn't pass a single eye test. But Miami passed them all. You know, and Florida State almost talked the pollsters into voting them in front of us with the loss because we didn't pass an eye test. And I get the whole Ohio State. And here's my question. If any other team in the Big Ten was sitting at 5-0 with the same record as Ohio State, would they be
No.
Because how can you explain what's going on with USC, as you just said, you know, and several other teams? And it's just – it's not that I don't think that Ohio State couldn't win it if they get in.
I totally agree.
That's not my debate. That's not my argument. My thing is, if you're going to do this next year, let that be the same criteria, because this was their choice. This was no one forced this on Ohio State. As far as the Big Ten did this by canceling and then using the myocarditis as the excuse, and then all of a sudden I guess it wasn't a big issue when everybody else moved forward. So they created this monster, and they're going to get rewarded. And there is something distinctly wrong that a league could have games and conference champions and winning teams that are sitting at 10-0 or 11-0, 10-1, and then another person competing for the championship. Think about that for 1 second. We're right now, if nothing changes, we're going to watch a college football playoff that features a team that is 7-0 at the max. Or are they going to rob somebody of the opportunity to play in the conference championship game and put Ohio State in?
Yeah. Hey,
and if they don't do that, they're going to be 6-0.
Let's squeeze in a couple of phone calls. These guys have been waiting for a few minutes. We're going to try to give them about 2 minutes apiece. AJ, let it rip.
Hey, Brian and Martin, thank y'all for taking my call. I just want to throw two things out here, and one of them is about how to beat Alabama, and the other is about Ohio State. Okay. So leading off with Alabama, okay? So even if you do figure out a way to stop Devontae Smith, what about this? What if Waddle comes back for the playoffs? What if Waddle gets cleared and comes back by the time you try to figure out how to stop Devontae? Then what?
Still an uphill battle right now. I think it's possible, but I don't think it's likely.
Yeah. Well, so, I don't think it's likely either, but, you know.
I'm not eliminating it completely. I mean, it could always be. I mean, it could be. So.
Yeah, but the other thing with Ohio State, I don't think, even if they want to, I mean, they could do it, and they probably are going to do that because the Big Ten changes rules like they change underwear, I guess. But, you know, what does that do to teams like Nebraska? Nebraska wanted to play Tennessee Chattanooga earlier this year because they couldn't get a game in, and they said no. So now you're going to say Ohio State, they get to go to a championship game if they don't play anybody this Saturday.
Great point.
Put them in a championship game. I mean, that's
it's one to think about, AJ.
Yeah, and I definitely think they're going to lose Nebraska. Nebraska's going to be gone anyway. I think they're going to lose them this year in the offseason. I think Nebraska's going to leave, especially if they do that.
Yeah, but I don't know where there's going to be a home for them. That's the only problem.
Well, I do. I think even with the bad history in the Big 12, I think they'll go back to the Big 12. I mean, they're
absolutely
a better football team back there anyway. And anyway, that's all I got. But
thank you, AJ.
Take a little more time. But
all right. AJ, thank you so much. And Robert, you'll be our final caller, and then Martin and I'll chime in at the end. Got about 90 seconds.
Okay, yeah. Trey Travis had a really good idea about, you know, what could happen for Ohio State to get your track of that game in. But after listening to your previous caller, if they did that to Nebraska, wouldn't let Nebraska make up a game with an out-of-schedule competition? Was that the case?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Well, then it doesn't work for Ohio State then. But Clay Travis' idea was, hey, play Texas A&M, and that'll be a play-in game for the Ohio State or Texas A&M. But I guess it won't work for Ohio State. Since the Big 12, the Big 10, is just a bunch of idiots. Another thing I saw, too, that you know, college football could do to salvage this season is to scrub conference championship and just have the 18 playoff. That is something they can do immediately. Then you would have Alabama, Coastal Carolina, Notre Dame, Cincinnati, Clemson, Florida, Ohio State, Texas A&M. Then nobody would be disputing the champion at that point.
Well, yeah, but if we put Ohio State there in there, it may take them 2 months to get the season on. I mean, it's just staying at the pattern that they're at right now. I mean, Ohio State plays like one game, right, and they take two off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, if they were to play with the bracket, then they don't have any choice. They got to play the next game. But they wouldn't know what to do if they played 2 weeks in a row. You got a good point about that. Playing Texas A&M would have been a good option for Ohio State if the Big Ten had been allowing such things, but apparently they don't. So
thank you, Robert.
I mean, you guys are right. They get away with a pancake schedule and not running the whole thing. It's not fair.
Martin, talk to me. What do you think? You got about 60 seconds here.
I just think that Alabama, first of all, is in, and if they win, and that's our number one goal. Number two is, I just think that Ohio State is a talented team, but if they get in, then to me, you're changing everything about how we have the conversation. If it's about eye test, let these colleges play their conference games and then play whoever they want. If they want to help a program out, et cetera, don't make it about strength of schedule if somebody can have the same strength of schedule with five games that someone else has in.
The committee has been a showboat from day one. That's what it's been about. It's what it's been about. I think that's the root of the problem. You've got to find a different way, selection way, to process this. That's Martin Houston. He'll have the latest tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., our great lineup here on Tide 100.9. We'll continue tomorrow afternoon. For Mark Houston, for James Ludeman, I'm Ryan Fowler. Alabama tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Nothing but sunshine this afternoon. The high today, 55. Clear tonight. The overnight low, 33. Then a warming trend tomorrow and Thursday. The sky sunny both days. The high tomorrow is 64. The high Thursday afternoon at 67. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9.